Good morning to each one of you. It is good to be back in Shenandoah again. And it was just as I was thinking, as Brunel shared there on Stevie Brubaker, it's somebody that we've come to know in the past however many years. He worked for Kendra's father, so we kind of got to know him. And just it's hard to see somebody go through that. Stevie was always an upbeat guy, just full of energy and life and just the life of the party, and then to see him go through that and just still have a maintain a good positive attitude, it's a good testimony there. It was a nice drive up through here. The leaves are changing, as Brian mentioned, and it's just a wonderful time of the year. It's one of my favorite. And we passed Dale going back down through on 81, and he had texted me before something about looking out for us, watching for us, and as I passed Dale, he wasn't looking for us. He was just focused straight ahead, and I don't know if he ever seen us, but anyway, this morning, I want to start out with a story, and I'll read this story. In early September 1776, the Continental Army was enduring some of the darkest days it would ever encounter in the entire Revolutionary War. George Washington and his troops had just been soundly defeated at the Battle of Brooklyn and had just barely escaped annihilation during their retreat. It looked more and more likely that the Americans would have no choice but to abandon the strategically critical city of New York to the British Army. Desperate to find any sort of advantage he could use, Washington issued a call among his officers for a volunteer who would go behind enemy lines undercover in order to obtain intelligence on the size, strength, and intentions of the British Army. At first, no one stepped forward. Spying was thought to be among the most disgraceful and dishonorable activities a man could undertake. Then Nathan Hale, a 21-year-old captain serving in an elite army group known as Knowlton's Rangers, stepped forward to volunteer. In a very short time, he was captured by the British Army. On September 22, 1776, at 21 years old, he was executed by hanging for being a spy. His last words ring through history as a hero of courage and bravery. "I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country." And that's the story of Nathan Hale. A lot of us have learned about that story in history class at school, of just tremendous courage. For him to stand forward like that and volunteer for basically a death sentence. I mean, that was a very dangerous thing to do. He was warned prior to that it's very dangerous, and he knew it. But yet, he stepped forward with courage to do that. There's other stories in history. George Washington comes to mind, somebody who, he was the leader of the army that crossed the crossing of the Delaware River on that stormy winter night with ice. They had to cross through the river with ice chunks and just dangerous, very dangerous. What it was a surprise mission to surprise the army on the other side of the river. Very dangerous, and that took a lot of courage to do. And these are stories that are written in history books as just missions of courage and bravery. And you know what? There's more inspiring stories, much more inspiring stories in the Bible that we read about today. So many of them. One would be the story of David and the Goliath, David fighting Goliath, and the story of the men in the fiery furnace. Think about the courage it took to take a stand for God that day. There's so many more we can talk about, but I want to talk about this morning is courage. And three definitions here that I have for courage: strength in the face of pain or grief. Strength in the face of pain or grief. And that I thought of that definition. There's terrible things going on in the Middle East right now. If you follow news to any degree, you know what's happening. And thinking of those people that who are being killed and their families are being torn apart. Strength in the face of pain or grief. Then secondly, mental or moral strength to resist opposition, danger, or hardship. Thirdly, the ability to do something difficult even when there's risk. Do something difficult when there's risk. Even in the face of death. Death might be at the doorstep. And yet the strength to do something, whatever it is. And I think of somebody who maybe smuggles Bibles into a country like North Korea or Iran or some of these communist countries to smuggle Bibles. That takes a lot of courage to do something like that, knowing that, you know, you could go to jail for it or wherever. Courage. What is the source of courage? Where does courage come from? I mean, we say, you know, I worked up the courage to do, to teach Sunday school, or for myself, I worked up the courage to come up here and preach. It takes courage to do some whatever it is. Where does it come from? What motivates courage? Courage is not a self-generated virtue. It is always produced by faith. Courage is always produced by faith. Faith in something, whether it's faith in God or faith in something else. And I think about Christians who were martyred, who went to the stake. They had a faith in God that was generated by a close walk with God. They had a close walk with God that gave them the ability to do that, to muster up the courage to go to the stake. George Washington, there was a love of his country. He loved his country. He had faith in his country, and that's what motivated him to do that. David, thinking about David and the giant Goliath, his source came through as a young boy, many hours sitting in the presence of God as he was watching over the sheep, and as he was on those mountains, just sitting and basking in God's presence. And it was a daily walk that I think that it was because of that over those years of following God that he was able to, in that moment, go and fight the Goliath, the giant. Courage is produced by faith. There's another person in the Bible that I want to look at this morning, and his name is Joshua. You can turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua is my hero of faith. Joshua, if you ever have ever studied through the book of Joshua, there is time after time where we see Joshua taking a stand and following God's will for him. Yes, Joshua was a military leader. And yes, he did carry out God's judgment on many enemies and nations around Israel. But he was used by God to rid the land of filth and of the evil nations and to build a name as God's chosen people. So just a little background before I read the scripture verse here. Out of over a million people, I'm not sure how many people there was, the Israelites, but Caleb and Joshua were the only two people who left Egypt and entered the Promised Land out of all the children of Israel. That's staggering to think about. They were the only two people out of all the million people that could enter the Promised Land. He was the successor of Moses, born in Egypt. He lived 110 years. He lived 45 years before the Exodus from Egypt, and then he lived 40 years with Moses, and 25 years as a leader after Moses. And so think about all the miracles that Joshua witnessed as he was, as the Israelites were trying to leave Egypt, and Moses, they were back and forth with Pharaoh. Please let my people go. And there was, we know the story of all the plagues and all the miracles. And he was there. He was watching. And he was watching God working. He witnessed these miracles happen. And crossing of the Red Sea, he was there watching it. And his faith was being strengthened. So I'm going to read Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. Now after the death of Joshua, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses. So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And that would be our theme verse there, verse 9. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. That is God speaking directly to Joshua. I believe probably for the first time directly speaking to Joshua as a charge to Joshua. And this is incredible that God tells Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. He says it three times. So God tells him three times to be strong and of a good courage. And we see God, when God says something one time, we better listen. But when he says it three times in the same paragraph, I think it's there strongly given as a charge. And God does not want weak and fearful men. He wants strong and courageous men and leaders to take a stand and to stand up for him. He wants courage and strength. And verse 5 really stuck out to me. Basically says, there nobody will be able to stand up against you. Nobody. All the days of your life, and I will be with you, and I will not fail thee or forsake thee. That was God's message to Joshua. And he's really, you know, as he's taking all this in, but what God's telling him, he's taking all this in, and he's, I can only imagine the feeling of joy that he's experiencing, this, you know, the feeling of strength that he has to go forward, and yet at the same time a feeling of responsibility that he's going to be the leader of this large group of people, his chosen people, and he's going to be there for him. He's going to carry him through whatever it is. And then verses 7 to 8, I want to look at briefly. 7 to 8. What is he referring to here in verses 78 to 8? He's saying, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which my servant Moses, which Moses my servant commanded. And then in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Meditate on it day and night, and do according to that was written therein. What's he talking about? He's talking about the law of Moses. He's talking about the word of God, the word that was spoken by God for his people to follow. And that's the Old Testament word that he is saying, that God is saying to Joshua that you must meditate day and night. You must saturate yourself with my word. And I was thinking about this. It shows how important the law of Moses was at this time. I mean, today, yes, we're living under the New Testament, and the New Testament is the Old Testament is replaced by the New Testament, the new covenant that we live under today. But it shows me that there was importance in the law of Moses for them. And I don't think today we should totally throw away the Old Testament. I think there's structure there. There's many things that we can get and we can learn and we can live by in the Old Testament. A lot of the stories we read about, this story right here, there's so much. It points out to me how important that was to those, to the people, how important it was to God that they were to study His Word. They were to study that law. And it says, in order to have good success, you need to meditate on it. In order to make your way prosperous, you need to study it and you need to learn it. And not just study it and learn it, you need to do, it says, do according to all that is written therein. And it needs to be ingrained into your life. And so the same way, I believe God's Word is for us today. It needs to be studied and lived and there needs to be action. We need to obey it and live it. And it's so important. You know, today it's so easy for us, and I'll be the first to admit, it's so easy to scroll. It's very easy. It comes easy. Or to watch a video or whatever. But when we take the time to study God's Word, God says that in order to make your way prosperous, you need to study it and live it. So I just want to look briefly at some character traits of Joshua. The first one, he is a man of faith. And we see that in verses 10 to 11. Joshua commands the people. He says, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. So that takes an avenue of faith to say that, doesn't it? He's basically saying, we are going to go in and take the land that God has already given to us. So that takes tremendous faith. I mean, he knew the giant. He's seen the giants that were in the land. He's seen that way back with the spies. He was there. He's seen the giants. He knew how badly the people complained and the discouragement that the people had. And also he knew the roadblocks, the other nations that they had to conquer. He knew all that. And yet he said, God is going to give us the land. Just tremendous faith. And he held on to God's promises. He knew God was going to be faithful. So he's a man of faith. And I want to look up a section here in Joshua chapter 5. It's a very interesting encounter where an angel came to Joshua. And I'm going to read that at this time. Joshua chapter 5, verses 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. This encounter here with his angel is, I just read over it and was trying to figure out what was the reason this angel came to Joshua. This was before Jericho. When they took over Jericho, the walls came down. This huge walled city just came down. It was a tremendous victory for them. And this was, it says, as Joshua was by Jericho. So I can imagine he's looking at Jericho. He's figuring out, how in the world are we going to conquer? Are we going to take over this city? Like, it was a huge walled city. And he's thinking, how are we going to do this? And as he's looking at Jericho, he looks over and there stands an angel. And this angel never said why he's here. He never said anything as to why he's here. He just says who he is. And he was the captain of the host of the Lord, it says, which was a superior angel. He was pretty high in ranking of the angels. And he just said, loose off thy shoe from off thy feet. And Joshua did that. He took his shoes off. And as I was thinking about this, why did this angel come? Like, he never gave a reason as to why he was there. He just showed up. There's an angel. And, yeah, you're standing on holy ground. Take off your shoes. And he said who he was, and that's it. So why would that angel, many times throughout Scripture, when somebody sees an angel, they have a message to bear. They the angel came to Mary, Gabriel angel came to Mary, and, you know, other places throughout the Bible, they have a message to carry, or they want to tell them something very important from God or whatever. Here, there's nothing said throughout, and I was thinking, why would this angel come? The conclusion I came to is that God sent this angel to show Joshua that, hey, look, you may be a brave and a courageous leader. You may be able to go out and conquer. Because remember, this was just before. If we look back through the chapters in Joshua, we will see. And there's one account with the account of Ai where there was where they were defeated. One of the only accounts. But then if we look through back chapter 9, Joshua attacks the southern kings. Chapter 10, the sun stands still, and there was a major victory there. Five kings are killed. And then Israel destroys cities in the south. That's in chapter 10. Chapter 11, Joshua attacks the northern kings. Summary of conquest. It says Joshua took over all that land, the hills and the south country. Joshua 12, a list of the conquered kings. And it just goes on and on and on. Victory after victory, one after the next, from Jericho, except for Ai. And I believe God sent this angel to tell him, hey, look, you may be victorious. You may be a bold and courageous leader, but it's only through my help. It's only because of the power that you have that I'm allowing you to do that, to be victorious. And I think it's just a very interesting story where, you know, Joshua, when he goes to bed at night, he can lay down to sleep after a very victorious day of conquering and just remember that. Remember that occurrence where that angel was standing there, and he can remember that it's because of God, it's because of his strength, that's the only way that he can be victorious. And I think today so many leaders forget that. So many leaders forget that, where their strength comes from, and we can put so much confidence in ourselves. Secondly, he was a man of prayer, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but there's an account in chapter 10 of Joshua 12 to 14 where he prayed for the sun to stand still, and that was a very interesting account where the sun stood still for a whole extra day. And there was only one other account that I know of in the Bible, is in Hezekiah's time, which in our Sunday school lesson, we're going to look at that, where the sun stood still. And that would be very interesting to have. And the reason it was is so it would give them more daylight to be able to conquer that the enemy for that time. They had more daylight, and God allowed it, and then they had a major victory. And just a very interesting time. Also, another occurrence where Joshua prayed was the defeat at Ai. And I'm not going to even get into that, but we all know the story where they were defeated. It was a major defeat. And Joshua prayed, cried out to God. It says that he tore his clothes, and till eventide, he prayed. He bowed to the ground and prayed till evening. And talking about a man of prayer. And cried out to God, what is going on? Why are we defeated? And God said, there's sin in the camp. And it was followed by God's direction to destroy, to stone all. It was probably the ugliest part of the book of Joshua, where his family, everything, his belongings, his family was all stoned and burned. And it's just a picture of God's judgment on sin, what God thinks of sin in the Old Testament. Thirdly, Joshua was a man of humility and sincerity. And as I think about humility and sincerity in the life of Joshua, it's probably, we see that most in, as he was a servant of Moses. Throughout Moses' life, he was Moses' right-hand man. He was there as a helper, as Moses' helper, too, for 40 years. Throughout the life living in the wilderness, he was standing by Moses. He was right there, and he was never promoted. He was just his helper for so many years. And secondly, I want to look at his farewell address in Joshua 23, verse 14. This is Joshua's farewell address. And it strikes me to think of this is the legacy of Joshua. "And behold, this day I'm going the way of the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof." That was Joshua's farewell address, basically saying, you cannot deny that God is good. God has been good. He has taken care of us the whole way through. And if you choose to go another way, a different way than what I am asking you to do, it's because of the hardness of your heart. And God has been there. He has taken care of us. And he always keeps his promises. So lastly, I want to look at Joshua being a man of courage. And how long do I have here, Brian? Until 30? Okay. All right. Lastly here, he's a man of courage. And I just want to quick look at Numbers chapter 13. This was before Joshua was a leader. This was back, we all know the story of the spies, when the spies went out to spy the land, and the 10 spies came back, and they were talking about these large grapes and many different fruits that they brought back. And they actually, in one of the verses, it talks about how they put them between a cluster of grapes. They bear between a staff, so they had these grapes. They were hanging off of a staff. And just huge fruits that they brought back. But their report was, yes, this is so great. There's so much there, so much there for us. But there's giants, and these giants are huge. And then we know the report where Joshua and Caleb came back and said, we can do this. It's not God's, the giants aren't that big when we think about the power of God. And then Numbers 14, looking at verses 6-9. This was Joshua's, well, let me back up. So the congregation, in the beginning of 14, it says the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And it was a whole night of weeping and crying, all these people. And the children of Israel, they murmured against Moses and Aaron, and they complained about their situation. We want to go back. In fact, they said, let's make a captain. Let's return back to Egypt. And it was basically, they all were tired of it. They wanted to go back. And Joshua, this was Joshua's message. Verse 6, "And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." So if you don't have that verse underlined or highlighted, please do. Numbers 14, verse 9. That's Joshua's response to opposition. Million people crying and weeping all night long. And Joshua stands up and says, their defense is departed from us. Fear them not. The Lord's with us. Just a tremendous legacy of Joshua. It was proof right there that Joshua was a good leader. That's why God chose Joshua to lead the people, because of his courage in the face of opposition and his ability to stand up. In conclusion, I want to look at Joshua 24, verse 31. This is the third to last verse in the book of Joshua, and this is what it says. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. So Joshua was the leader, and Israel served the Lord all his days, and all the elders that overlived him. What a tremendous legacy of a man that feared the Lord and that stood up for what was right. As I think about throughout the Old Testament, through the kings, and how many leaders, there was some good leaders that followed the Lord, but how many leaders flip-flopped back and forth, and then they were in idol worship, and then they came out of idol worship. And Israel served the Lord all his days. That is so incredible to think about. And that is a result of a God-fearing leader who lived what he believed. He never allowed fear to derail what God wanted him to do. And we need, this country, this world needs leaders like Joshua today. And another verse that Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And that was his life, and that was spoken in his farewell address just before he died. His desire, his heart was that Israel would follow the Lord, and it was lived out in his life. And you know, thinking about this, thinking about him being a man of faith. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of humility and a man of courage. Is that you this morning? Man, woman, or child, is that you? And we just kind of skimmed through the book of Joshua. You could probably take a series of messages on the whole book, but I just want to encourage each one of you to be like Joshua. He was not perfect. There was actually not recorded a lot of failures in his life. There was one time where he made an alliance with some enemies, another nation. He made an alliance, and he shouldn't have done that. But there's not a lot of failures recorded in the Bible of his life, and obviously it wasn't perfect, and no one is. But he took a stand for truth, and I believe that we can raise a generation today, like Joshua did, as he was a leader that stood up for what was right, and he had the courage to step out and to speak up in the face of opposition. That's not always easy. It really is not. And so I believe we can do that today. And as I think about the dangers and the influences that we have today, that are in our world today, that are right basically at our fingertips, the dangers and the influences that we have. And as we were driving up through here this morning, I was thinking about this time of the year is Halloween. And you see, I mean, it's already, yeah, not even Halloween quite yet, but there's already evil things out there. And, you know, we're facing so much of that, and it seems like it's getting worse every year. But it's going to take God-fearing courage, like Joshua, to take a stand in this evil world in which we live. Last phrase I want to let you with this morning to think about. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the determination to act despite its presence. So it may be fearful. It may be times of fear, but it's not the absence of fear, but the determination to act despite its presence. So kind of that phrase just stuck out to me, and just to think about that and allow God to work in your life and to build up that courage to go forth. Maybe it's courage you need to witness to somebody, or whatever it may be, take a stand for what's right. So God bless you this morning as you remain faithful to Him, and that just remember, as we looked through the life of Joshua, God said over and over again, be strong and of good courage, and He said over and over again that He's going to be with us, and we have nothing to fear. No one, He told Joshua, no one will be able to stand up against you. And that is just a powerful message from God to him, and as I'm sure he over and over again thought of that, and just a direct message from God to him telling him, hey, you have nothing to fear. And the same way it is for us today, that no matter what happens in this life, that God is there with us, helping us through every step of the way. So let's pause for a word of prayer. Father God, we come before you this morning and just thank you for this day that we have to come to your house and to worship you, and thank you for each one here. Lord, I pray for the church in Shenandoah. I pray for each one, Lord, just give them strength and courage to go from day to day. The dangers that we face, the evil in this world that we face, doesn't matter where we're at in this world, there's always evil in the presence of evil. But God, we know that you are way above the powers of darkness. And we thank you that you will be with us and you will protect us. And no matter what we go through, that you are there continually guiding us and helping us through. So God, just give us courage and boldness and bravery like Joshua. Help us to remember that as we go through life. And Lord, just be with us as we go from here. Just lead, guide, and direct us. In your name I pray. Amen.